for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Friday evening, May the 27th, 1983. Memorial Weekend Deliverance and Teaching Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the teacher of the evening. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Tonight we're going to do what's called a mass or a group deliverance. And let me hasten to say, this will not do everything. We're going to do a mass or a group deliverance, and let me hasten to say, because as always, some dummy out there that comes up and says, well, I don't think that that'll do everything. Neither do I. I didn't think it'd do anything at all of it before you did. But a mass or a group deliverance will do what we call clear the underbrush. How many of you have never been in a service like this before? Anybody? Anybody? Some of them have been halfway there. They're afraid to raise their hand. They don't know what that means. Well, the rest of you know about it. If you've been in a mass delivery, say, oh, shoot, I've been in one of those before. My lands, you ought to look forward to this one. There's no telling what kind of bugs have crawled out from under the bark since you got the last raking over. You see, deliverance is a progressive thing. Did you ever peel an onion? It's layer after layer. And just because you got one layer clean, have a look. There's another layer there. And it's loaded. Just plan on keeping getting peeled for a good while to come yet. You haven't gone anywhere yet, have you? When Enoch got too close to God, he went home. When Elijah got too close to God, he went home. I don't think any of you look like you're in danger. I keep listening for the chariots circling over my head, but they don't seem to make it. So don't be too alarmed. Don't be too alarmed at this thing. This is normal too. If you want to bind something, you bind an electrical spirit called Boyce. He's the bird that does this kind of stuff. Boyce, yeah. No. He's the thing gets in your tape recorders and electronic gear. We're very familiar with him. He hangs around our church most of the time. I don't know that he has time to do anything with anybody else. I didn't know he had time off from our church to come up here. Glenn, he usually stays in there. Seems to be a short somewhere, Glenn. Well, it's not in me. I'm well nigh perfect. I want all the help I can get. Now, can you hear me back in the back? Is this, you're all right. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. A mass or a group deliverance will not, definitely not do everything. But what it does do is extremely helpful. And it will clear the underbrush. And even though you've been through a dozen mass deliverances, you can still get help. Even Irma gets delivered every once in a while. And we gave up on Glenn a while back. everybody can get some help if you'll cooperate with the Lord. That which is ready to go will go. I'm going to throw the net out, and Glenn told me to put the fine seine on it. Try to catch as many as possible. We'll put the dragnet out. But for those of you who are not familiar with it, let me briefly just say we're simply going to go through a bunch of renunciations and prayers. And some of you may have gone through these before, but it's amazing how many demons manage to miss the net. And somehow they jump out of the net or something and they stay in there. So it won't hurt you to go through them again and tie them down even tighter. And I've modified this somewhat. We have discovered in recent days, a very definite connection between sickness and infirmity and the Roman Catholic Church. Especially women are just afflicted with all kinds of sickness and infirmities that come directly out of the Roman Catholic Church. For some reason, they're especially susceptible. And you might keep that in mind if you've been affiliated with that system. And it is being afflicted to be in it, bless their hearts. All right. Now, what we're going to do is just renounce a lot of things that are dangerous to you. And if you're here, you should mean business. If you don't, you're in the wrong place. Amen. But if you mean business, you want to be free, then that's what we're here for. And we want to help you to get free with every bit of knowledge that we know. This will not do everything, but it'll give a lot of people a chance to get some deliverance. And that's what we're after. And then we'll mop up the mess later, after it's over. We'll start one-to-one prayer after we get through with this.
Now, there are some reasons why believers are not free. There's always a reason why the demons do not come out of you. They do not hop out obediently like little bunny rabbits, just saying, hop out, hop out, hop out, hop out. The devil is no gentleman. I heard Derek French say many years ago, the devil is no gentleman. He'll come in on the slightest pretext, but he must be kicked out in Jesus' name. He will not leave without being forced to leave. You have to, and in order to be forced to leave, you have to bring superior power to bear on him. If the demon has legal grounds or legal holds, a legal right to be in you, no amount of prayer, no amount of fasting, nothing that I know of will get him out, because he has a right to be there. I heard somebody on the TV here a few weeks ago, and they were saying, I'm just getting sick and tired of these people talking about demons having legal rights. They don't have no rights. I thought, you don't have no learning either. They certainly do have legal rights. They know the scriptures better than we do. And let me hasten to say this. We're not glorifying Satan nor the demons. Satan is beatable. He can be had. He can be trounced. He can be beaten in an open battle. His demons are completely vulnerable. But you have to do it according to the scripture. And you have to know the scripture. And you have to move in the power of the Spirit. And you have to move in the spirit and motivation that Jesus taught us to do. Otherwise, you will not be successful. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I've seen some people grab hold of a piece of this and run off, say, oh boy, now I've got something nobody knows about, and I'll go out here with these dummies and I'll splash around. They ended up like Sceva. You know what happened to him, don't you? He and his seven sons. They were Jewish exorcists. I don't know what they did. I guess they used the Old Testament. Being Jews, that's probably what they used to try to drive the demons out. Everybody has a way to drive the demons out except the modern churches. Hello. They have the only one that'll work, and they don't use it. But at any rate, Sceva and his son saw that Paul was doing deliverance in a different way. It was a lot easier, and it worked. So Sceva had seven sons. They were eight men. They were experts in this field. So the next time they got a call for a demonized man, they went to the house where he was, and I guess he was tearing up the turf. And these eight men went in very confidently. Sceva says, now we're going to do this a little different this time. And he said, I adjure you, demon, by the Jesus that Paul preaches, to come out. The demon looked at him. You have to go back to the Greek to get the real how funny this thing is. Because the demon looked at him, and he said, Paul, Jesus, I know. Paul, I've heard about, but who in the blank and blank are you? I never heard of you. And then he proceeded to fly on them. He tore all their clothes off of them, beat them black and blue and bloody, and chased them naked down the street. What a sight. Now, that's what happens when you try to cash a check where you don't have an account. Fortunately, the believers have an account. But you've got to learn how to follow the rules, and then the demons will be beaten instead of you. There's always a reason why demons do not leave. And it isn't God's fault. There is a reason somewhere. You've got to dig it out. Sometimes the reason is just you. I hate to say that. Because so many deliverance workers, you know, say, well, it's just you. That's not fair. There are times when the deliverance worker is not turned on full speed for one reason or another. There are times when the believer who's being helped is not able to cooperate, doesn't know enough, or is not cooperating. But there's always a lack, or there's always some reason why deliverance is delayed. Because I know Jesus is in favor of it. He's the one that ordered it to be done. It's the first sign that follows believers. All right, tonight, what we're going to do, I'm going to take you through some renunciation to help you get ready for deliverance. How's that? We call it clearing the underbrush. If you're going to saw trees down, you've got to get the underbrush away first. You'll never get your big saw working around those trees until you clear out all the little garbage, the underbrush, and the briars under there. So we'll rip out the underbrush, and then we'll see what we got in the nest. You'll be surprised. Some of the chickens start running before we get through. They know what's coming. I always get disgusted with the cowards. You know, they won't stay around for the fight. Amen. They'll start leaving early, but there'll still be a few around and put up a squat. All right. Now, the first area is the area of the unforgiveness. Let's deal with that first. You've heard about forgiving people, and you say, oh, yes, I've forgiven till I don't have anything left in me. I doubt it. Not because you're lying, but because there's probably things that the devil has hidden. He knows where the body's buried, and he has hidden things from you back in your past, maybe in your childhood, deep hurts, deep disappointments where somebody really did you in. And you must forgive these people. Jesus commanded it. When his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray, one of the things that he taught them was to forgive. Remember, forgive us, he taught them to pray, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as it was the same measure that we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. Now, we thought this is optional, and when we feel particularly religious, we're very good at forgiving, especially if we caused it anyway. But when it comes to us being on the raw end of the stick, she hurt me. He did that to me. I'm not going to forgive them. They don't deserve it. Well, now, the day that you got born again, and I suspect most, if not everybody in this building, is born again. The day you got born again, the day I was born again, I received from the Father, through the Son, forgiveness, grace, love, peace, all kinds of wonderful things, and a whole string of blessings I didn't even know I had. I found out about them later, years later, studying the Bible. I found out he really dumped a load on me.
Amen.
He did you too, didn't he? Now, did you deserve that the day you received it? Did I? No. Every day since I've known the Father, he has been extremely gracious, patient, loving, kind, forgiving toward me, and has extended all kinds of bounties toward me through the Son. He has you too, hasn't he? And I never have deserved one day of that. Have you? See, we're in a bad position to talk about anybody deserving something. I think we better change the subject and just do what Jesus said. He said to forgive. Well, all right. Lord, forgive Susie. She certainly does need it. Well, that's not forgiveness. Susie may indeed need forgiveness. But when you forgive, it means you tell the Lord that you forgive Susie for the hurt or disappointment she did to you. That's forgiveness. And you leave the other part up to the Lord and Susie. That's their business, not yours. Don't steal. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And a lot of you picked up the club and decided to dispense it. That's God's job, not yours or mine. All right. You must forgive. It's not optional. It's not some of those things that you do if you want to be nice. You absolutely must do it. Jesus knew what hurtful and dreadful things would come to us if we did not forgive. Even the psychiatrists, who know very little, have found out the connection between cancer and arthritis and unforgiveness and bitterness, which follows. If you don't forgive, you will sooner or later have cancer and or arthritis. I'd say 98%, maybe more, of the cancer and arthritis are coming through channels of unforgiveness. And unforgiveness has you'll pick up that spirit if you persist in unforgiveness. And then unforgiveness, they never like to travel by themselves. They travel in bunches. Unforgiveness has a best friend called resentment. And then they have another buddy called bitterness. And when they get deep hurt on board, I tell you, you've got enough for a pity party every day. And you can just feel sorry for yourself every day. And you see what we do when somebody hurts us or disappoints us. We pick out one of our very best friends and we go to them and we say, do you know what she did to me? Do you know what he said to me? And they say, I don't believe it. I don't blame you a bit. I feel the same way. And we feel so righteous and so justified as if what our friend says, we always pick one that'll agree with us. Huh? As if what they said overrides what Jesus said. Now, I think one reason people have trouble with unforgiveness is because, or forgiving people, is because they have thought, if I forgive them, it means I say I'm right and they're wrong. That isn't true. I can forgive a person who's totally wrong. I can be totally in the right. I can be 100% the injured party. And I can turn around and forgive the person who rendered this to me. I am not agreeing with him or her in any sense. I am simply saying, I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm not going to come under condemnation and judgment and misery just because of unforgiveness and bitterness. I'll let God deal with you. And I'm forgiving you. I just forgive you. I won't hold it in my heart. I refuse. Now, a lot of people, when I say that cancer and arthritis are rooted in unforgiveness, they say, now, wait a minute. I knew a dear old saint. She was the dearest person on God's earth. I knew a dear old man who was a pillar of the church, loved God, no fake, no phony, real, genuine Christian, if there ever was a Christian. Loved everybody, gave their money, their time to help people, was always helping somebody, always praying, always studying the Word. Real, genuine, true blue Christian. And you mean they had demons? Well, now, you certainly don't think that cancer and arthritis come from the Lord, do you? If it's a gift from the Lord, why don't you go home and pray that the Lord give it to you and all your family so you can get blessed too? Hmm? Don't pray against it if it's a blessing from God. No, it's not a blessing from God. If the enemy has managed to grab hold, through some way he's managed to gain a foothold. This is one of the easiest footholds to knock him out of. And I would advise you to take hold of it. Now, if the person is living, you must also ask God to bless them. And always I feel somebody say, Now, no, preacher, wait a minute. I was going along with you pretty good up to there. That old hussy stole somebody else's husband after she got mine. That old man robbed somebody else, took them for cleaners after he cleaned our savings account out. I'm not asking God to bless any such mess as that. But see, that just tells me that you don't know what God means by blessing. If a person's lost, what's the best blessing God could give them? Salvation. Are you so mad at them that you don't want them to get saved? That'd make you look pretty tacky, wouldn't it? You wouldn't even look religious. And we have to be careful to look religious. That's very important. If we don't feel very religious, we ought to look that way, right? You say, well, that's what you mean, I guess. Yeah, bless the old reprobate. He certainly does need saving. But you say, wait a minute. Well, I'm thinking about somebody hurt me, and they claim to be a Christian. What about that? Well, what do you do with a believer? Claims the name of the Lord, but they're way away from the Lord. What's the best blessing God can give to them? Bring them back to himself? Hmm? Are you so mad at them you don't want them to come back to the Lord? You wouldn't look too good in that either, would you? We have to look good, you know. It's very important. Otherwise, we can't stand ourselves. You say, well, I guess that's what you mean. Yeah, Lord bless them. Bring them back to yourself and bump their head on a stump or two on them where they remember the trip. No, don't bother telling how to do it. Just turn it over to him and let him do it. We must forgive people. It's absolutely essential. Now, some of you, especially some who have not been through this before, while I've been talking, a funny thing's been happening because in your mind, you've been thinking about people and events that you hadn't even thought of in years and years and years. Some of them, they've been buried way down deep, and you thought, where'd that come from? But see, that's the Holy Spirit. He's ooching them up to the top. He's getting you ready to get rid of them because we're fixing to dump them overboard. You ready to dump the freight overboard that doesn't belong?
Amen.
All right. What we're going to do, I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. And while we pray, I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Now, that's not because you can pray better that way. It's not more sacred. As a matter of fact, if you were digging a well and you slipped and fell into that well and were hanging upside down, swinging by a rope wrapped around one ankle, you'd probably pray better than you'd ever prayed before. It's not the posture of your body that makes the difference, but there is a good reason why I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I really hate to tell you this in a way but I just might as well. There's some nosy people here. Now, I know you're not, but you may be sitting next to the nosiest one in the crowd. And you see what happens if a nosy person's praying looking straight ahead and something happens over here, they lose track of what they're praying about and they have to stop and look over here and they lose track of what they're praying over. And so to protect all the nosy people, we'll just have you bow your heads, huh? Really, I want you to concentrate on yourself. I want you to be absolutely honest with the Lord and just hang loose with the Lord. Don't be passive. Actively cooperate with him. Repeat after me, please. Father in heaven,
I confess to you
that in the past
I have held unforgiveness,
sometimes bitterness and resentment
in my heart
against certain people
who have hurt or disappointed me.
I now recognize this as sin.
And I confess it is sin.
For you said in your word,
if we confess our sin,
you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do now forgive
the following people
whom I remember
who have hurt or disappointed me.
Now, very quietly, I want you to just tell the Father, it's nobody else's business, but you tell the Father the names that come to mind of the people who've hurt or disappointed you. Mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, close friends, close acquaintances, preachers, teachers, others you've been close to. I forgive all these people that I remember.
Thank you.
And if in the days to come, you should bring others to my mind, I will quickly forgive them also. I forgive myself for all my many faults and failures. For you, Father, have freely forgiven me. And I must not hold in my heart against myself those things for which you have already given forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for setting me free from the load of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. I claim complete freedom tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, there wasn't anything complicated about that. I don't really know anything complicated. Let's move on to another area that causes a great deal of problems that will bring you a curse to the fourth generation, to 160 years from God. This is the area of the occult. He says, don't have any other gods before me. If you do, I will curse you to the third and fourth generation. The occult is extremely dangerous. In the Bible, every single incident of the occult brought the death penalty without exception. There were no exceptions. Balaam, who was a true prophet of God at one time, went off into witchcraft, ended up being stoned as a witch. Soothsayer. If you went into the occult in the Bible, they weeded you out. It was death by stoning. God doesn't dislike the occult. He hates it. And he promised to curse those who were in witchcraft, who came into any kind of occultism, to the third and fourth generation. And let me mention some of, for instance, the Ouija board is a very common occult tool. Parker Brothers produces 2 to 3 million of them a year. And everywhere they go, they take death and disaster. You remember, for instance, maybe some of you, when you were just a kid, played with a Ouija board. Maybe 10 years old, you got one, or somebody down the block got one. You remember when you played with the Ouija board? Funny little thing, you know, it moved around. It was real silly, you know, it pointed out letters, it spelled out things, and it was kind of amusing, you know, very interesting, fascinating little thing. And some people it worked for, some people didn't work too good, but everybody stood around, everybody tried it. You remember that? Did you have a good time? Kind of interesting? I hope you did, because you were cursed, your children were cursed, your grandchildren were cursed, your great-grandchildren were cursed. By God. Ooh, you said, I didn't know that. That's why I came. Because God's people have not been warned. Every pulpit in the land ought to trumpet the danger of the occult, but almost nobody is saying anything about it. It's even invaded the churches. Let me mention some common things in the occult. Sorcery. You say, oh, well, I never did any of that. You sure? Sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means to open your mind by the use of drugs for the entrance of the occult spirits. And friend, that's what all the drug scene's about. The devil could care less about the kids getting high. That's not the object of the game. The object is to trick them into opening their minds and letting the evil spirits come in. And you remember when you tried a joint to see how it was? Did you get high? I hope you did, because you were cursed, your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, your great-grandchildren cursed. And you paid a tremendous price for that. Remember when you popped a pill, dropped some LSD, snorted some cocaine, got on heroin? Or you can do it on Valium. You can do it on prescription drugs, too, mind-altering drugs. You were cursed, your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, your great-grandchildren cursed. See, the object of those powerful drugs is to break down the defenses God built into you against the spirit world, and so the evil spirits can come in. And friend, there is no protection for you when you walk into the devil's net like that. You say, but I didn't know. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, now let's see. If you didn't know, what are the rules if you don't know? They're the same as they are down here in Hot Springs. If I go down here, I borrow Glenn's car, and I go downtown, and I come, and there's a pretty little thing up there. It has three lights, and it has a green one, a yellow one, and a red one. Well, my favorite color is red, so I wait till it comes on, and then I go in. And then I have one of these friendly little fellows with a bubblegum machine on top, you know, saying, hello, 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 hello. He waves at me kind of friendly-like, you know, I pull over, yes. He said, you went through that light. I said, yes. He said, it was red. I said, I know, that's my favorite color. And he said, that's against the law. Oh, really? I didn't know that. He said, oh, you didn't know. Well, then that'll be all right if you didn't know. Is that the way it's handled? No. God doesn't handle it that way either. Ignorance of the law is not God's fault, you see. You said, but I never learned it. Well, your parents were supposed to. You said, my parents weren't Christians. That's not God's fault. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? God holds us accountable for the book. And the book forbids this. Let's go a little further. All kinds of witchcraft. White, gray, and black. Black witchcraft, that's the nasty kind. Voodoo, killing people, making them sick, sticking pins in dolls, all that kind of, that's black witchcraft. But white witchcraft, now that's doing nice things. That's bringing good luck. That's Christian Science. Christian Science, you know, that's grape nuts. Grape nuts are neither grapes nor nuts. Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. It's a metaphysical occult religion. And the way Christian Science heals is by swapping demons. Friend, when you swap in the devil's mark, you swap up, not down. You say, but, you know, I paid a healer. You'll pay to it. You'll pay for it, too. You'll pay for any phony baloney, running around in Christian clothes or not. Did you know that? You're not going to get anything free from those boys. They don't go free. They're after your money. Watch out for the people that come and say, I'm living by faith. Just say, blessings on you. And let me amplify what they were saying earlier about the camp here. You know, people are always, I've seen what they were talking about when I first came here. There's some real shysters. You're a fool if you let somebody hornswog you and giving them money. There's a reason why they're out of money. And you're interfering with what God's teaching them. And everybody is not your neighbor. Maybe I'll do that one of these days, Glenn. That's one of my most unpopular messages next to deliverance. It knocks all the do-gooders in the head. There's a good do-good spirit, by the way, that makes you waste your substance. Back to grape nuts or Christian Science. If you had a migraine headache, supposing you got prayer from the Christian Science practitioner and it went away, you said it was cured. Yeah, they swapped it. They swapped the migraine in on cirrhosis of the liver, heart attack, insanity, or some neat little thing like that, or brain tumor. You won't know about it for a while. You'll ride along thinking, I am healed, I am healed. Bang, you're dead. This is the way it works. Anytime you trade with the devil, you lose. Anytime. Only when you trade with Jesus do you get the blessings. And everything's already paid for. When they start coming at you with a filthy lucre, run, do not walk to the nearest exit. I'm telling you the truth. God's gifts are given. You have the privilege of helping to finance the way it goes, but watch out for those people that are God's marvelous channels for draining your pocketbook. And I don't get started on that. They use witchcraft on people to raise money. That's what they're doing. They're using a thing called mind control, soul power. That's how they mesmerize a group of people to give money they don't have. Run down and mortgage their houses and everything else and give money to a guy who's already rolling in money. Stay out of these fundraising outfits. If God wants it going, he'll do it. You'll find Glenn and Irma running around the country beating a drum saying, oh, we're poor. Couldn't you pay for this? Couldn't you do this? They make the needs known and ask God to do the rest. You watch out for the others. Don't get involved in one of these megathons. Oh, telethons, excuse me. All right, witchcraft of any kind is rotten, hellish, from the pit. No matter where it starts, it ends up with curses. And the minute you fool with curses of any kind, love potions, I don't care what you call it, you're cursed, your children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, your great-grandchildren cursed. You say, but and then you go to divination. That's fortune-telling of any kind. Astrology and horoscopes. Remember when you read your horoscope and laughed and what they say about you? Let me read you what they said about me today. Isn't this funny? Have a good laugh. I hope you did, because you were cursed, children cursed, your grandchildren cursed, great-grandchildren cursed. You say, well, that makes it sound horrible. I know. I want it to sound horrible, because it is. In God's sight, it is hellish. It's an abominable thing. He's destroyed whole nations because of this rotten mess. His people, you know, I used to wonder, before I got into deliverance, there were a lot of things I couldn't understand about God. There's still some things I don't understand, but I understand some things I used to didn't understand. I used to get a little embarrassed because God was so tacky about the way he made the rules about his marriage for his people, you know. He was pretty, you know, he was kind of stickler. He wouldn't let them marry outside their own nation at all. That's kind of tacky, isn't it? You know, we're much more broad-minded than that, aren't we? But, you know, after I got deliverance, I found out that witchcraft can transmit by inheritance down through the generations. And every single nation, every national ethnic group has its own brand of witchcraft. That means if you have four national strains in you, and the person you marry has four, your kids get eight. What a thrill, huh?
They've got eight brands of witchcraft to fight. Back in those days, the only people who weren't in witchcraft were the Jews. God said, you marry inside that, that's one problem you won't have. Interesting, huh? There's a reason for what God does. A wise, a beautiful, wonderful reason. Give him time to show you what it is. Don't get upset with him. Amen? All right. Divination of all kinds. Fortune telling. You remember when you went to the carnival one time? All the kids went in high school, you know, and there's a gypsy over there. Said she's a gypsy. You know, she's looking at a crystal ball or reading palms. And everybody came out laughing, you know, and said, what's she telling you? No, she told me so and so and so. Well, go on in and see what she's telling you. And you went in, you know, and you came out laughing. Oh, you know what she told me? It's silly thing, you know. You tell them about you have a good life. Well, you have a curse, children curse, grandchildren curse, great grandchildren curse. Hypnosis. Oh, had a nerve there, didn't I? See, the devil's upgraded all this stuff, and it's called parapsychology now. That makes it all right, doesn't it? Well, it depends on whose rule stick you're using. If you're going to use God's rule stick, your curse, your children curse, your grandchildren curse, your great-grandchildren curse, it's an abomination. If you use the world's grand stick, they've updated it. You know, biorhythm, invented by a witch. Sounds like astrology when you listen to it, you know. Good days, bad days, you do it with a calculator, it makes it real scientific. You have certain days that are good and certain days that are bad, and you're on, you're off, and it's sort of like astrology, which fixed it up. Then you have palm reading, tea leaf, coffee ground, bumps on the head, corns on the toenail. It doesn't matter. Any kind of divination is divination is divination, and it's an abomination. What you need to know about the future is in God's book. We need to be students of the book, then we'd know some of these things we need to know, and the others we don't need to know anyway. Probably frighten you to death if you knew some of it. Handwriting analysis is a neat little fortune-telling gimmick. A lot of people fell into. Jean Dixon and Edgar Casey. Jean Dixon, you know, she's a witch, so is Edgar Casey. Did you ever read the Sleeping Prophet to try to find out how God heals? Well, you probably picked up his witchcraft spirit because he's a witch. He went into trances and he believed reincarnation and he believes everything the witches believe. Oh, he put a little scripture in, didn't he? That kind of made it nice. But he's still a witch. Jean Dixon, you say, I thought she's religion. She is. She's a religious witch. There's a lot of those around, too.
Amen.
There's some charismatic witches around. In the charismaniac churches, they're scattered here down yonder. They control everybody. It's one of the ways. They usually control by revelation and prophecy. Everybody's waiting for their revelation, their prophecy, instead of looking to the Word of God and true revelation and true prophecy. You get them started. A witch doesn't have to wear a skirt either. Sometimes they have breeches on. And say, amen or oh me. Women are usually attracted into witchcraft, but men do get started into it too. All right. The drawing card of witchcraft is power. It promises power. Men usually can just take the bull by the horns and go ahead and do what they want to. They're not as attracted to witchcraft for that reason. Women, in a place they are, they say, well, I can't do anything. Well, I can do something through witchcraft. And that's why it grabs a lot of women. So it gets hold of men, too. All right, tarot cards and laying cards. You know, Jean Dixon, if you had a gift of well, first of all, if you had a dream or a vision, a big snake crawled in bed with you and wrapped around you, ladies, and looked into your eyes, gazed in your eyes, and looked to the east for wisdom, would you think that was God talking to you? Well, she did. It's in her biography. Yeah. She's a witch. And also, she says she has a gift of prophecy from the Lord, from God. She says, I worry about those people talking about God all the time. My Bible says when you know the Son, you talk much about Him and the Father's honored. Talk much about Him, the Spirit's honored. These people that are on the God kick, I worry about. Never hear the Son mentioned. Never hear Jesus Christ mentioned. Well, anyway, she says she has a gift from God, and it is a gift from one of the gods, little G. But she lays cards, reads crystal balls, and consults astrology charts. Is that the way you get a prophecy, gals? You know more than that, don't you? She's a witch, plain and simple. Good dose of salvation and help her. Okay, let's see. The signs of the zodiac, of course, they're all from the fifth two. Then you have Eastern religions, all the Eastern religions, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, every one of them I change. The whole rotten mess is based in demonism, totally. Completely. There's no redeeming feature in any of them. Zen Buddhism, PSI,
Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, Unity, any kind of metaphysics study, Baha'i, Scientology, the Inner Peace Movement, the Children of God, the Farm, the Way, the Walk, all those are pure and simple demonic organizations. And any group that denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, denies the efficacy of the blood, that denies heaven or hell, you can mark it down, it's demonically rooted. No doubt about it. If it denies any of the fundamentals of the faith, get out of it. Cut the soul ties and escape. We have yoga, karate, and all the martial arts. Those are strictly demonic exercises. That's why they work. Yoga, every position in yoga opens your body for the entrance of evil spirits. Stay away from it. If you want to do exercises, fine. Just don't do yoga exercises. Every one of them is designed to open your body for the entrance of evil spirits. I don't understand exactly, but we found them over and over, a whole nest of evil spirits that came in through the positions of yoga. Especially the lotus position is extremely dangerous. Then you have Freemasons and Eastern Star, of course, go right back to Babylon, along with the Catholic Church. And all the martial arts are rooted directly into demons. If you get into karate, fellas, or gals, either one, especially fellas are drawn into it, if you get into karate, then you've opened yourself for lust, for murder, hatred, mind control, and that's a few of the nicer ones. Then, I've got good news for, acupuncture came out of karate, by the way. That's Chinese witchcraft. You won't be healed by acupuncture, and they got a cute little spinoff called AccuTouch, and, or acupressure. Then, girls, you know, your pierced earrings, got good news for you. They are a violation of God's word, which says, don't mutilate your body. Some of you guys are looking awfully happy out there. Your tattoos are in the same category. Your pierced earrings, this comes courtesy of Frank and Ida Mae Hammond, who stumbled into it about 3 years ago, I guess now. And they found it in connection with Bell's palsy, which would not yield to prayer. And the Lord, when they looked up the scriptures, they found out the scriptures condemn this as mutilation of the body. Also, that the only time pierced earrings are mentioned in the Bible, they're associated with slavery, harlotry, and demon worship. That's pretty poor company to be walking in, isn't it? You say, oh my goodness. Well, you see, when God looks at your earrings, he doesn't see the diamonds, he doesn't see the gold, he doesn't see the dingle dangles. He sees slavery, idolatry, and demon worship. That's a pretty good thing. Every once in a while, I'll take a look through God's telescope and see what he's looking at instead of what you're looking at. You say, oh, but I don't think of it that way. Well, God does. And if I were you, you say, well, I'm not getting rid of mine. That's all right. You'll think of it every time you put them on. I saw the Hammonds a couple of years ago, again, worked to get with them again, and they were telling me that they've also discovered that the pierced earrings are tied directly in to many female troubles. And I know that personally, with a lady in Hawaii and one in California, both, after they were in one of these meetings, and they got rid of their earrings, broke the soul tie with the person that pierced them, confessed the sin of mutilation of the body, threw the earrings away, that they immediately got rid of chronic female trouble that they'd had. One of them, I think, had it for 20 years, another one maybe 15 years, a chronic female problem they'd had. And it instantly went away, and they'd been prayed for numerous times, and nothing happened. This time they weren't even prayed for. They just simply were obedient, and it was gone. Praise the Lord. I say they made a good switch, don't you? You know, a lot of these things don't seem to cause trouble, but they do. There are some things that are just not worth fooling with. I have people a lot of times come up to me in meetings and say, well, what about so-and-so, you know? And I say, well, is it bothering you? They say, yes. I say, well, I'd get rid of it. What do you need it for? Who wants it? Why keep your house or your living quarters cluttered up with a bunch of things that make you feel uneasy? Over the board. You know, I'm convinced that Elvis got us loaded down with a lot of toys we don't need. He's caused us to have so many things around us so we can't keep track of what's around us. And even when we become knowledgeable, we've had people that would go along and know about some of these things for years and be having various kinds of illness and things in their house. And then in cleaning out their dresser drawer somewhere, they'd find a little memento from years before. Forgot they even had it. It was tucked back. was a little last-ditch hole the enemy had there. Witchcraft spirits, they linger in the owls and the frogs, little Mexican sun gods, Buddhas, little tiki gods, totem poles. If you think that totem poles, things like that, there's a couple of gals here from Alaska can make your hair curl about the totem pole when I'm the one I move while she's looking at it. That's kind of spooky. All of this stuff is demon-empowered, people. These carved things from Africa and from the Orient, the carvings, the representation of their gods. Those, you remember when the children of Israel went back, were out in the wilderness wandering around, and they made all the furniture for the tabernacle? The scripture specifically says that God gave men and women cunning skills to make all the furniture, do all the embroidery, beautiful, gorgeous things for the tabernacle, and later it would be put in the temple. Now, he gave them cunning skills. The devil also gives people who are dedicated to him, he gives their hands cunning skills. That's why you see some of this beautiful artwork done. But if you bring it into your house and it's been dedicated to a demon, you're going to have trouble. You say, well, I'm not getting rid of it. Well, fine. They're not bothering me, friend. I'm just telling you about it. But I'd check my house if I were you. The devil usually manages to sneak a few of them in our houses. And they're not worth keeping, are they? I had a lady one time tell me, she said, Brother Murphy, she said, the first time you came through, said you said something about owls and frogs. And I thought, now, I'm not getting rid of my owl. She said she had a beautiful little orange ceramic owl sitting on her countertop in the kitchen. Said it was cute. And she said, I thought, well, now that preacher's just getting fanatical. Of course, I told him I didn't care if they didn't get rid of him. No, I just tell him about it. I said, you'll think about it every time you see him after that. She said, that's right. She said, every time I walked through the kitchen, I'd look around, that thing was looking at me. I'd move, and it was watching me. And said, after 2 weeks, I said, I just took that back and took a hammer to it. I said, I feel a lot better now. Well, some of these things are not worth fooling with, people. They're too dangerous. Let's see what else we got. There's something to offend everybody, I think, here. You have jewelry, charms, enchantments, potions. You know, there's nothing wrong with having herbs stirred up, you know. The herbs can be good for you. But I tell you what, if you're stirring me some herbs or something to help me be in better health, if you talk to it, I don't want it. I mean, while you're stirring it, I don't want you talking to it. That makes a potion out of it. I'll just pass. Thank you. But, you know, some people, when they were kids, had a wart charmed off of them. You know, Aunt Susie was good at that. You find a kid with warts on their hand, no, especially a little girl, oh, that's terrible, you know. Well, Aunt Susie can fix that. And so she'd take an Irish potato and cut it in half and rub it on there. Then she'd throw it over her left shoulder at midnight in front of a cross-eyed black cat or something like that. And then the wart would go away. Some kind of crazy formula, all kinds of weird things they do. And sure enough, the warts went away. But the thing that you didn't realize was that evil spirits went in. Caused all manner of trouble in that life. We found a lot of them that came in through putting charms. That's putting a charm on them. Now, so if you've had those things, you need to renounce those things too. Dungeons and Dragons is one of the latest ways to learn witchcraft. Many college people are coming under oppression that way. Anything teaching reincarnation, of course, is from the devil. Oh, you have jewelry. You have a hexagram. That's a six-pointed star. Oh, you call it the Star of David. Well, look it up in the Encyclopedia of the Mogan David, the Star of David. David never knew anything about it. It's a star. It's called the hexagram from which we get our word hex. And all witches and Satan worshippers today use that sign to cast curses to this day. It is a hexagram, and you are having a hex sign. You say, well, mine's got a little cross in it. Well, if you read Woodrow's Babylon Mystery Religion, you fall out with crosses, too. You say, are you just going to take away everything? I doubt it. We'll try. It's amazing how much baggage we're carrying that we don't need, folks. And that's hurtful to us. The devil slipped up and got it in our pack. Then you have the little wiggly horn. You know, that's the Italian horn. It means I trust Satan for my finances. That's a nice thing to carry around with you. You can have the cross with the oval loop on top. The Egyptian Ankh, look it up in the encyclopedia, you'll find out it's a symbol of the fertility goddess, of the goddess of lust of the Egyptians.
And it's a lust symbol, and Asmodeus, the god, the prince of lust, has a right to come in your body when you wear that thing. You also might meet a witch or a warlock that knows what it means, and they might insult you, thinking you're inviting problems. Oh, let's see what else we got. We ought to have something more. You got the satanic salute becoming very popular. That's another occult symbol. They're all over the place. Avon, you know, Avon Jewelry has been the great pusher of a lot of occult jewelry. Be careful about these chains you're wearing around your neck, ladies. Oh, dear, I see them grabbing their necks. They grab the ears and they grab their necks. I don't really have a vendetta against the women particularly, but I think that I can't say for sure, but in some cases that we've dealt with, there was no deliverance possible until the chains were taken from around the lady's neck. One lady in particular, I remember, came to a church one time during a workshop, and they were in deliverance, and the demons were manifesting, and they would not come out. And one of the workers said, I think it's those chains. She had three chains. Now, she didn't have these just little imitations. She had the real stuff, real gold ones. She said, let's get them off. And so she dumped them off, and the demons started screaming, don't do that, don't do that. That's the way we can stay. You see, chains are, in the scripture, chains speak of slavery. And now, whether your chains are bad or not, you talk to the Father about it and see, okay? But you might consider that. A lot of times when I notice somebody wearing them when we're in deliverance, I'll ask them to remove them for a time at least. Let us pray. Get that. I never pray with anybody with a crucifix on it. I don't like anything that comes from the Babylonian system. And there are some things that just definitely block deliverance, you know. Let's see what else we got in here. Of course, we got all kinds of... Get rid of all your superstitious stuff. You don't need any of that garbage, do you? What would you need with superstition? Now then, if you've been babbling with these and all this astral projection, Ekankar, soul travel, spiritualism, medium seance, all these neat little things, if you've been involved in any of these, you've dabbled in them, you say, but I didn't really get involved, for if you don't understand, I just, you know, tried it out to see how it was. Oh. Well, God says it's spiritual adultery. Now, you gals, if your husband came home and said, honey, I went out and committed adultery. I just didn't really mean that. I just wanted to try it out and see how it was. That'd make it all right, wouldn't it, gals? I've never got a bunch of gals to agree to that. They all say, mm-mm. Well, that's what God says, too. When you go out and dabble, just try it to see how it is, you know? That's spiritual adultery, friend. Very serious. And that means you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, your great-grandchildren are cursed. Now that makes us ready to go home, right? Wouldn't that be terrible? If I'd shut it off, say now, since you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, your great-grandchildren are cursed, just go home and meditate on it. Wouldn't that be a gloomy way to leave things? But God never does us that way. What a wonderful God we serve. For he tells us plainly like it is. He positively is against evil. He makes all kinds of negative confessions. He said, I'll judge you, I'll be on you. And then he positively says there is an answer, there's a way that you can get help out of the mess that you've made. So let's bow our heads again now for concentration so that we can really get down to it and get really concentrating on what our needs are individually. All right. Repeat after me, Father. Father in heaven,
I confess to you
and in the past, through ignorance, curiosity,
or
willfulness, I have come into contact
with certain occult things.
I now recognize this as sin. And I confess it as sin. Claim forgiveness and complete deliverance from any and all spirits. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do now renounce the following occult things that I can remember that I have contacted. Now, just mention the things you've come into contact with as far as you can know. I renounce all these things that I know about. Also, any that I may not know about. I renounce and confess as sin any false oaths
which I may have made to any false god, and also any idolatry in which I was involved. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I'm closing any door that I may have opened to you. Through contact with the following occult things. Now mention again the things you mentioned to the Father earlier. I renounce all these things that I know about. And also any that I may not know about. I renounce Satan and all his demons. I declare them to be my enemies. I want them out of my life completely. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I close the door to any occult practices in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every curse of rejection from the womb. Every curse of illegitimacy, which may be in my family, even back to 10 generations, on both sides of the family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break and loose myself from all demonic subjection. From any ungodly soul ties to my mother, father, grandparent, or any other person, living or dead, who has ever dominated or controlled me in any way which is contrary to God's word and the will of God. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I also repent. I ask you to forgive me if I have ever dominated or controlled some other person in the wrong way. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now renounce, break and loose myself and all my descendants from all psychic heredity, demonic holds, psychic powers, bondages, bonds of physical or mental illness, or curses upon me or my family line as a result of sins, transgressions, iniquities, occult or psychic involvement of myself, my parents, or any of my ancestors, of my spouse, any and all ex-spouses, or their ancestors. I thank you, Lord, for setting us free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now rebuke, break and loose myself and all my descendants from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, bewitchments, witchcraft or sorcery, which has been put upon me or my family line from any person or persons, from any occult source, any psychic source, and I command all connected and related spirits to leave us. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. I come to you, Lord Jesus.
as my deliverer.
As my deliverer.
You know all my problems.
You know all my problems.
All the things that bind.
All the things that bind.
Torment.
Torment.
Defile and harass me.
Defile and harass me.
I now refuse to accept anything from Satan.
I loose myself from every dark spirit.
From every evil influence.
From every satanic bondage.
From every spirit in me.
Which is not a spirit of God.
I command all such spirits.
To leave me now. I confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit.
Redeemed.
Cleansed.
Sanctified.
Justified.
By the blood of Jesus.
Therefore, Satan has no more place in me.
No more power over me.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
All right, now what we've done so far is to break a lot of legal bonds and legal grounds. We've played havoc with the grounds on which the enemy stands. We pulled the rug out from under his feet. His way is now dark and slippery, and we'll see how many are ready to slide right out. First, I'm going to take authority over Satan. I enjoy that. And you can, too. It's not just every believer has this authority. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I put you on notice. We're coming against you from the power of the third heaven. High above you, high above principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, world rulers, kings and princes, and every angelic rank. And we put you underfoot and put you on notice that you nor none of your troops are to interfere with what's going on here tonight. And Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for sufficient legions of angels to circle this place, to guard it, to garrison it, every building on this ground, every vehicle around here. We want the whole place covered with angels, that the demons are able to do absolutely nothing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over every strong man and every person here present. And we ask for special protection for the children and the babies in the nursery. We ask for angelic escorts and the angels for all these free spirits that are floating around in the air that are not in anybody. Bind them and take them away to wherever Jesus wants them to go. Let's get them out of commission now. I take authority over the strong men and every person present. I put you demons on notice that your forces are paralyzed, they're bound, and we are garrisoned by the angels of God, as you can see plainly. And when I call your name or your family name, you must leave the people. The people have renounced and forsaken these things. They're ready for deliverance, and you must come out. And angels, when they come out, take them to wherever Jesus says to take them. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm coming against the spirits of the occult. I want you people, by the way, I forgot there's some that haven't been through this. I want you to breathe through your mouth for a time. Please don't pray with your mouth. Pray, but pray in your head for a little while. Taking all the traffic off the street. Most of these things are coming out through the breathing passages. And you pray in your head for a little bit, okay? And now don't cafeteria on me. By that I mean don't shop. If I call out something, say, oh, I don't have that. Well, I might have that. Well, maybe I have that. No, not that. Oh, mercy, no. I don't have anything like that. You don't really know what all's inside of you, okay? And when I call the names of the family names, in your mind, pray and agree with me. If two of you agree, see, that's where the power comes. If two of you will agree, okay, you agree with me and say, Father, Lord Jesus, if that thing's in me, get it out. I don't think it is, but if it's in there, I want it out. I sure don't want to hold on to it. I'm not going to argue about it. If it's in there, get it out. I don't care how it got in there or anything else. I just want it out. Okay? And then I want you to breathe through your mouth for a little while. Now, every once in a while, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to say, now, breathe them out, people. And I want you to take three or four slow, deep breaths. And some of the chickens are leaving already. I want you to breathe out slow and deep three or four times. Now, don't do it more than that at one time. If you do, you'll hyperventilate and think you're getting delivered, and all you're doing is just getting dizzy. But that will help, because the Bible says to throw them out, expel them, means to push them out. And you're showing the Lord and the demons your mean business about this. okay? All right. Take authority over the spirits of the occult first. The Ouija board, sorcery, witchcraft control, all forms of witchcraft, white, gray, and black, water witching, magic, voodoo, divination, fortune telling, spirits from Dean Dixon, Edgar Casey, or any of the psychics, automatic handwriting, handwriting analysis, tea leaves, coffee grounds, crystal ball, tarot cards, palm reading, astrology, horoscopes, signs of the zodiac. Come on, all you occult spirits, come on, start moving, move. Breathe them out hard, people, let them go. Come on, come out of there. Hurry up. Move in Jesus' name. Hurry up. In the name of Jesus Christ, move. Come out of there. Keep moving. Keep moving. Faster. Hurry up. Hurry up and leave in Jesus' name. Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Move. Move. Come out right now. Hurry up. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you, foul things. Come out of there. The people want to be free. You come out. You have no right to hold them in bondage. Move. Keep moving. Come on. Hurry up. All the divination spirits, get out. Divination, divination, come on. Necromancy, seances, mediums, come on, let's go, come on. Come on, witches, come on, witch spirits, come on out of there. Hurry up, witchcraft, all the witchcraft, come on. Eastern religions, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, I Ching, Hare Krishna, Zen, PSI, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Mormonism, Rosicrucians, Theosophy, Unity, Metaphysics, Baha'i, Scientology. Come on, all you wicked spirits of false religion, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on, the occult religions, come on, move. Loose the people and let them go. Biorhythm, yoga, karate, and the martial arts. Acupuncture, Freemasons, Eastern Star, come on. Spirits that came in through pierced ears and tattoos, come out in Jesus' name, move. Come on, charm, pentagram, the ox, the Italian horn, the goat's head. The unicorn, the flying horse, the rainbows, charms, enchantments, fetishes, potions, spells, dungeons and dragons, psychic readings, reincarnation, spirits from the pyramid, clairaudience, mental science, false visions, superstitions, amulets, talismans, Satanism, karate, karma, and the hex signs. Come on out. Breathe them out one more time. Come on, the rest of the witchcraft. Come out of there. Come on. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose the people and let them go. Loose them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, the people's souls have been fragmented by witchcraft that they were involved in or that somebody put on them. And I ask you to send out a whole fleet of angels, legions of angels, go throughout the world and find the parts of their soul that were fragmented and taken away, the parts of their mind, will, and emotions that witchcraft took away. I want you to bring it back and put it in every man and woman here that is, and push the rest of those spirits out of there. Let them come back now in Jesus' name. Let the angels bring it in now. Bring back the mind, will, and emotions. He restoreth my soul. Let's restore those souls right now in Jesus' name that have been fragmented by witchcraft. Push out the witchcraft, the false ones in there, the false identities. Push them out of there. Push them out. Push them out. Put the pieces back in place. Let their soul be restored now in Jesus' name. Let the angels bring in the pieces right now in Jesus' name. Push the false spirits out. Push them out. Mind, will, and emotions. We claim restoration. He restoreth my soul. Yes, you have to go out. Spirits of laziness, self-hate, self-deception, spirits of impatience, pride, irritation, ambition, loneliness, despair, hopelessness, suicide, death, confusion, rejection, depression, misery, torment, torture, doubt, unbelief, greediness, covetousness, guilt, shame, condemnation, and evil heart of unbelief. Come out of the people. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on. Come on. If I called your name or your family name, demon, you have to leave. Come on. Get out. Leave the people. Loose them and let them go. Loose them now. Loose them and let them go now. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. All spirits of fear and torment, the torment that goes with fear. Fear of giving and receiving love freely. Fear of death. Fear of pain. Fear of folly. Fear of darkness. Fear of dogs. Fear of cats. Fear of insects. Fear of crowds. Fear of water. Fear of drowning. Fear of close places, fear of the future, fear of nightmares, fear of demons, fear of Satan, fear of storms,
fear of the loss of salvation, fear of hell and purgatory. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come on out. Breathe those fear spirits out. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Come out. Breathe them out hard, people. Let those fears go. Fear, come out of there with the torment you brought in. Come on. Move. Fear. Fear of the dark. Come out of there. Fear of death. Leave the people. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go now in Jesus' name. Loose them now. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Spirits of wrath, anger, temper, contention, fighting, murder, destruction. Spirits of vandalism. Spirits of malice, envy, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, pride, hysteria, fits, convulsions. Spirit of a broken heart. Wounded spirit, deep hurt, unforgiveness, revenge, vengeance, seething anger, rage, schizophrenia, and paranoia. Come out of the people now. Breathe them out, people. Come out. Breathe them out. Come out. Come out now. Come on. Move. Move. Loose them and let them go. Loose them now and let them go. Spirits of profanity, blasphemy, filthy conversation. Spirits of lying, gossip, slander, whining, complaining, self-pity, criticism, mockery, foolishness, ridicule, and perversity. Come out of the people now. Loose them. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come on out of there. Out of the voice box. Profanity, blasphemy, and filthy conversation. Leave the people. Loose them. Get out. Hurry up. Go. Go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I break every curse of the automatic failure mechanism in the family, back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. I come against the spirits of poverty, discouragement, failure, worthlessness, rejection. Leave now. Spirits from the curse of the automatic failure mechanism. Breathe them out, people. These spirits cause you to fail in business, in school, at your work, in your marriage. Come out now in Jesus' name. Discouragement, failure, worthlessness, rejection, and poverty. Come out. Come out now. Come out now. Come out now in Jesus' name. Move in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of addiction, all rooted in rejection. We cut you loose from rejection, gluttony, overeating, binging, addiction, and craving for food. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break the curse of eating blood. And we command those spirits of blood eating to come out now in Jesus' name. Move. Spirits of eating blood, come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now. Addiction and craving for and bondage to nicotine and all the allergies related to it. Come out now in Jesus' name. Nicotine and all your cigarettes. Come on, move. Addiction and craving for and bondage to alcohol of all kinds. Wine drinking, mockery, strong drink, rage, stupidity, and deception. Come out. The spirits with alcohol. Come out in Jesus' name. Addiction and craving for and bondage to drugs. Marijuana, acid, speed, THC, PPC, mescaline, angel dust, cocaine, heroin, Valium, diet pills, amphetamines, barbiturates, tranquilizers. Come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of sorcery through the drugs, come out now. Move. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I break the curses of lust on the people, back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Spirits of lust. All the spirits that enter through the eyes, through the ears, through participation, through transfer or inheritance. Every spirit of lust, masturbation, guilt, shame, condemnation, pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, sex perversion of all kinds, including oral sex, anal sex, sex with animals, sadism, masochism, incest, rape, fornication, adultery, immorality, prostitution, harlotry, occult sex, uncleanness, filth, filthy dreams, filthy conversation, sexual fantasies, frigidity, impotence, cruelty, incubi, succubi, lasciviousness, lewdness, nudity, promiscuity, flirting, and seduction. Come out now. Come out of the sex organs. Come out of the lips, the tongue, the taste buds, out of the throat. out of the mind in Jesus' name. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. Move. Come out now. Come out now in Jesus' name. I break all the curses of infirmity and sickness and weakness back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. And especially we break the curses that came from the Catholic Church, which caused sickness, deformity, infirmity, sickness, pain, arthritis, swelling, infection, cancer, ulcer, tumor, cyst. Breathe them out, people. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now. Breathe them out, people. I break the curse of allergies on the people. Back to 10 generations on both sides of the family. Spirits of allergy in the respiratory tract. Spirits of hay fever, asthma, bronchitis, and other sinus and respiratory system allergies. The spirits that cause swelling, itching, burning, infection, excess drainage, irritation. Come out of the lungs, out of the bronchial tube, out of the mouth, out of the sinuses. Come on, out of the breathing passages. Move. Come out of there. Come on. All allergies in the respiratory tract, come out now. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. All the allergies in the bloodstream and in the bone marrow, come out now in Jesus' name. Allergies to food, allergies to substances, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We break your power over the people. Leave them now in Jesus' name. Spirits of hemorrhoids, muscle spasms, cramps, drowning, asphyxiation, choking, smothering, fainting, suffering, swelling, fits, convulsion, and epilepsy. Come out. Come out now in Jesus' name. Heart failure, heart attack, heart disease, and the fear of all of these. Come out of the people now. Come out of the muscles of the heart. Come out of the valves of the heart. Come out of the nerves in the heart. Out of the blood vessels in the heart. Spirits of hypoglycemia, high and low blood pressure, and diabetes. Come out now in Jesus' name. Loose them now. Loose them now in Jesus' mighty name. Psoriasis, eczema, acne, warts, mold, ugliness, bone breaker, back breaker, traumatic shock and paralysis. Come out of the people now. Traumatic shock and paralysis. Come out now. Move. Breathe them out, people. Let them go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Cataracts, glaucoma, astigmatism, blindness, and all kinds of eye trouble. Come out now in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Deafness, hard of hearing, vertigo, and troubles related to the ears and hearing. Come out now in Jesus' name. Loose the people and let them go. Loose the people and let them go. I come against religious spirits, religious externalism, religious hypocrisy, religious legalism, religious bondage, religious slavery, religious murder, lust and ambition for recognition in religious matters, lust and ambition for position, power in religious matters, self-serving, selfishness, greed, no love, no compassion, theft, cheating, pretense, false oath. Talking to religious spirits now, religious blockage, rigid theology, obstructionism, hatred of the truth, Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now. I come against the spirits of Babylon, the Babylonian spirits of Roman Catholicism, idolatry. I break the curse of Catholic baptism. I break the curse that came when the baby had the oil put on it, when it had salt on its tongue, and when it had water put on its head. I break that curse. Spirits from Catholic baptism, come out. Come out. Confirmation. I break the curse that came when they were named there for the demon saints. Come out of the people now. Come out now. The curse is from the confirmation. The spirit of prayer came when prayer to the saints, dedication to the priesthood, dedication to be a nun, one true church, one holy priesthood, spirit from the Mass, Holy Eucharist, adoration of the host, incense, the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, joyful mysteries of the Rosary, the glorious mysteries of the Rosary, the Immaculate Conception of Mary, Holy Mother Church, authority of the Pope, infallibility of the Pope, fear of the priest, fear of the nun, confession, Holy Water, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Holy Family, Stations of the Cross. Come out of the people right now. Come on. Spirits from the Rosary. Spirits from the Crucifix. Spirits from Candles. Spirits from Blessing of the Throat of St. Blaise. St. Joseph. Fear of Hell. Fear of Purgatory. Religious Hatred. Guilt. Condemnation. Unworthiness from the Catholic System. Good Work. Mind Control. Holy Orders. Extreme Unction. Sacrament, benediction, spirits from the human bone relics in the altars, genuflecting, feast days of the saints, devoted candles, witchcraft control, poverty, religious medals, sacrifice of the mass, angel of good counsel, sign of the cross, spiritual adultery, indulgences and infinite frauds. The worship and veneration of Mary. Come out of the people now. Mariolatry. May altars in honor of Mary. Immaculate Conception of Mary. Sacred Heart of Mary. Our Lady of Lourdes. Our Lady of Mercedes. Our Lady of Fatima. Mary, Queen of Heaven. Our Lady of Snow. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Queen of Martyrs. Queen of Peace. Queen of Heaven. Mary, Star of the Sea. Immaculate Heart of Mary. Novena, Scapular, Spiritual Blindness. Deafness, the Feast of Peace, the Feast of Life, destruction of the family priesthood, passion, spirits of agony and ecstasy, ashes on Ash Wednesday, St. Teresa, Miracle Mary, St. Jude, St. Christopher, St. Anne, St. Elizabeth, come out of the people now. Come out of the people now. Keep moving. Keep moving and come out of the people now. Come out of the people now. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you, foul spirit. Come out now. Come out now. Lift your hands and get your circulation going.
This is the end of the CD.